was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RVN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with my co-host, Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and you can find his information at courtroomwatch.org. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
Doing well, Lori. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's definitely been an interesting week, to say the least. I have been reading in some of my documents, and because you know how we like to go over some of our old documents that we have just to refresh us in the mind, and I'm like, you know, it is amazing how much of the documents that date all the way back to 1666, the history of showing exactly what we were talking about last night still goes on today, and the same fights still go on today. And I just thought that it was pretty amazing on some of the stuff that we just keep on. I was reading in the Retail Rebellion and the Second Amendment today, and it just has some really interesting facts. Maybe I'll share some facts out of that with you a little bit later. We are hoping that we will be able to get John Lamb on the show tonight. We're trying. There was difficulties. He was out of area last night, unable to come on. He does plan on coming on tonight unless something comes up. So we're really hoping to get him on because he has some new updates and new information when it comes to our political prisoners that are sitting out in Nevada, as well as some of the political prisoners that are sitting out in Oregon. I would also like to make a call out to Jim, who was on the line last night at the end of the show. If you all want to go ahead and call in, I'll gladly go ahead and take your call so you can finish what you were saying. I apologize publicly that it was at the very end of the show and you couldn't get said what you wanted to get said. So if you're listening, please feel free to call in. I'll go ahead and take your call. And that number is 1-800-313-9443. We'll take a couple of calls, I think, at the beginning of the show tonight. Eric, how does that sound?
That sounds like a winner, Lori.
Yeah, because I wanted to, you know, touch base, and I know he had something that he wanted to say. We had just run out of time, and the music started playing, and I know that he had mentioned Judge Anna Brown, so I wanted to really hear what he had to say, but unfortunately we ran out of time, so maybe he'll call back in, and we can hear the fullness of what he had to say last night. So one of the things I found interesting, Eric, in this document that I was reading, it's, by the way, this is out of the Indiana Law Journal. So if anybody wants to find it on the internet, you can type that in, Retail Rebellion and the Second Amendment, and then I would put behind it Indiana Law Journal for the Google search, and you should be able to find it fairly easy. It's in PDF form, just letting you know. And it was just really interesting that it says, this is what it says, as far back as the 17th century, jurists recognized the right to resist arrest. In 1666, for example, Hopkin Huggett's case, the judges of the King's Bench considered that a man who killed an officer serving an imperfect government warrant could not be guilty of murder, but only manslaughter. And then it continues to say, John Barry and two other men were walking through London when they seized an unidentified man to impress into the king's military. Huggett and three others overtook Barry and his companions, as well as the impressed man, and demanded to see their warrant. Barry produced a paper, quote, which Hopkin, Huggett, and the three others said was no warrant, and immediately drew their swords to rescue, unquote, the impressed man. During the ensuing fight, Huggett killed Barry. Eight of the judges initially stated that the death of Barry was not murder. For, quote, if a man be unduly arrested or restrained of his liberty, unquote, even if he offers no resistance himself, quote, yet this is a provocation to all other men of England, not only his friends, but strangers also, for common humanity's sake, unquote. And it was thus no crime to try to rescue the victim of the unlawful arrest, because each individual Englishman is appointed guardian of his fellows' rights as Englishmen. Eventually, however, the same judges appear to have been convinced that it would be of, quote, dangerous consequence to give any encouragement to private men to take upon themselves to be the assertors of other men's liberties, especially in the nation where good laws are for the punishment of all such injuries, and one great end of law is to right men by peaceable means and to discountenance all endeavors to right themselves, much less other men, by force. Then it states, despite the confused rationale of Hopkins Huggett's case, by 1709, the English courts had ensconced the common law right to resist an unlawful arrest and traced its roots to the fundamental laws of England. In Queen v. Tully, Constable Samuel Bray arrested Anne Deakins for disorderly conduct. Although this charge was found to be insufficient, a group of men, including Tully, assaulted Bray with swords drawn. Bray showed his constable's staff and declared that he was about the Queen's business. The group dispersed only to return again with drawn swords to where the constable was holding Deakins. The group demanded her release. Bray called for help from a fellow constable, and when that fellow arrived, he was killed by the accused. The Queen's Bench held that the defendants had not committed murder, but manslaughter only. They were apparently pardoned. The defendants claimed that Bray acted outside of his jurisdiction and without a warrant. As such, they argued, quote, he did not act as a constable, but a common oppressor, unquote. The defendants had been provoked to violence by the sight of such oppression, or, quote, it is a sufficient provocation to all people out of compassion, much more where it is done under a color of justice, and where liberty of the subject is invaded, it is a provocation to all the subjects of England, unquote. Whereas the court concluded, if anyone imprisons a man against the law, he, quote, he is an offender against the Magna Carta, unquote, and can be resisted as a tyrant. Even technical deficits in the arrest, a missing staple or mistaken pen stroke, could dispel the law's protection over an officer and transform him into a rogue. How interesting is that, Eric? We talk about this all the time,
yes,
except in current days, and all the way back in 1666, they were dealing with the same situations.
My, oh my, how history repeats itself over and over again.
Isn't that interesting? That is just amazing to me. And I've read this before, you know, but every once in a while I will pull things up and I'll go right back over it to, you know, refresh my mind on facts and the different things that I find extremely interesting. And it just, it goes on and on in this document. Anyone who has some time, pull it up seriously, get a copy of the PDF and read it. It's extremely interesting. However, it's just really, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how when we look back to the Founding Fathers and we look back to before the Founding Fathers, and I mean, even all the way back to the Magna Carta in 1215, you know, the same type of issues that were going on then are going on now in 2017, and it's just each time, if you notice, all throughout history, they always did it under the name of following the law, the oppressors did, and it just has always since to, or under the color of justice, if you're talking about in England, instead of under the color of law, you know, and it was just really amazing to me how history just continues to repeat itself. You know, they, people say, and it's been said for a very long time, those who did not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Apparently, the individuals, and I'm not talking about, of course, all individuals, we have some really good constitutional sheriffs and some good constitutional police officers that fight back against the corruption and stuff like that. So I'm not talking about all of them. But even consistently today, they try to use that excuse. You know, I'm just following what they tell me to do. And all throughout history, even all the way back to 1215 in the Magna Carta, it just never ceases to amaze me how much we've allegedly come so far. Yet the ones following those rules are still using the same excuse for that.
Hey, Lori?
Yes?
I wanted to just let you know I'm on the road right now and I'm having a little difficulty with hearing you. And so if I cut out, I'm going to come in for the second hour as soon as I get home at 11 o'clock Eastern here. I will check back in with you. So I might scoot off now for the next 45 minutes, and I'll try to catch you in the second hour.
Okay, we'll do that. I look forward to it. Okay, not a problem. Well, everybody, thank goodness, as expected, we have a wonderful patriot and a wonderful guest tonight with us. This is John Lamb that is going to be visiting with us tonight and giving us some updates as to the different situations that are going on. I believe that he can tell you a little bit better than I can. John, how are you doing tonight?
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you. I'm glad we could finally get through those technical issues so that we could have you on, and we're blessed to have you. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? What is it that you do? You keep up with those courtrooms. I know that. You keep busy.
Yeah, I have been. I'm from Montana. I live in a small town just outside of Bozeman, Montana, and have a family and a small little farm there. I have a business and own my own business. So I run my business there. But here last year after the protest out there in Burns, Oregon, at the refuge, I was following that very closely from Montana, and it caught my heart with everybody, what was going on out there in the Hammond family, and I started making trips to the court cases in Portland first, and visiting the guys in jail, and so ever since then, I've been just nonstop now, and I've kind of set my business aside for the time being, and I'm trying to help these guys get out of jail and fight this injustice system.
Right, absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, when we're talking about Oregon, you were there during times that there was protests in the front of the courthouse actually going on before the trial started. Am I correct?
I was down there multiple times before the trial, all the way back up until about March of 2016. And I showed up there for the jury trial that started back in the first week there in September. Mm-hmm. I showed up there to spend about a week of the trial. I ended up spending 48 days there in Portland, protesting out front, buying signs and trying to pass out jury nullifications and constitutions. And I also went into the courtrooms every day of the trial until we got that verdict of not guilty.
Well, that is awesome. I want to thank you personally for doing that as well. You know, it's people like you that take it upon yourself to step up and everybody join together that makes that difference. So you were there. Were you there when when David Fry got released?
I was there for that verdict, and then I continued to stay around. I stayed there a few days later, and they after the verdict, we thought they would just after they found them not guilty, they would let them walk out. They did not do that. They ended up re-handcuffing David Fry, shackling him, and transported him from the federal court building back to jail for 6 more hours. And that was, I thought, was pretty horrendous for a person who had already spent 10 months in jail as an innocent person and then still go back to jail for 6 more hours while they done the booking work and unbooked an innocent person that had been found not guilty. And I waited outside that jail until they released him that night.
I remember I was watching the stream, and I was cheering along with you all, even though I wasn't there. I was cheering. And were you? Did you happen to be in the courtroom when was it Ammon Bundy's attorney that got attacked?
It was Ammon Bundy's attorney, Marcus Mumford. After the verdict, it was a pretty emotional time and a time of celebration, you know, for the defense team. And you can just imagine, here we have 7 defendants, their lawyers standing there before the judge, and they have just found not guilty. So they were happy. There was nothing to be fighting about, or they were just overjoyed. And they went to to handcuff David Fry and go ahead and handcuff Ammon Bundy right afterwards, and Ryan Bundy, and go ahead and take them back to jail. And Mr. Mumford, Ammon Bundy's attorney, he said, "Hold on, Your Honor. Why are you holding these men? They just found not guilty. You know, what worse? Show me the paperwork." He was just acting as an attorney would, asking for the reasoning that they were going to haul these guys back off the jail after they had just been found not guilty. And she says, "Well, the marshals, you'll have to deal with them. That it's their jurisdiction here. She really didn't have an answer. She didn't have any paperwork. The marshals, with no reason at all, just ended up surrounding Marcus Mumford. And just while he was speaking, and brought him down to the floor, just grabbed him and took him to the floor and said he was resisting arrest. He wasn't resisting arrest at all. He was just trying to talk. They ended up tasing him with a taser, handcuffed him, and hauled him off the jail along with his clients. Eventually, they gave him three charges before they released him, and he's still facing trial now himself. They're in the same federal court building.
Now, is this, correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to make sure, because last night I could not remember. Is that Judge Anna Brown? Is that the name of the judge?
That is the judge. That is the judge. She's presided over this whole trial for the first seven, well, actually over all of them throughout, ever since it first started. She's been the presiding judge. 11 of them have, took plea deals before the trial. Peter Santilli was, all charges were dropped just days before the trial. Mm-hmm. And then seven of them went to court and faced the jurors, and they were, acquitted, as we all know there. And now we've got, seven more that are facing trial here coming up on February 14th there in Oregon over the same deal, and she's still presiding over the same case.
Right, and you know what? This is what we were discussing last night, because it was reported in Oregon Live, and we know how they helped fuel the misinformation as to what was going on in Oregon. But they had reported that over the misdemeanor charge, that she claimed that she was the one who made the decision of whether they were allowed to have a jury trial or not. And we were explaining, by quoting the Constitution, the federal Constitution, as well as the state Constitution, that's not accurate. Because in all criminal cases, you have a right to a trial by jury. And even in Oregon, no matter which one she wants to play on that, in the Oregon one, it even gets more specific. It is the defendant who has to request a waiver of not going to the jury and letting the judge decide, and they have to do it on paper. And it's the opposite. The defendant is wanting the jury, and the judge isn't wanting that. And I would say the judge isn't wanting that because they know they have a losing hand, because they know that these individuals didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly. So what she's done is, and I was there for each one of these hearings, sat there listening to her, but she said that she said they do not have a right to a jury trial on misdemeanor charges in her court, and that she will try both cases, the new charges, all the misdemeanor charges that this government has stacked on top of the original charges. Mm-hmm. She's going to try them alongside of the jurors, so all of it will be heard approximately the same time coming up here this month. And then once the verdict comes out, or whatever the jury decides, she will continue having a bench trial on the additional charges, and mm-hmm. she will rule on that.
See, and that's what, do you know if she was elected or appointed?
She was appointed.
Okay. Because with being appointed, if I'm not mistaken, now I'm not 100% on this, but I'm pretty sure on this, because that's a violation of Article 6, Section 2, because of her being appointed, if I'm not mistaken. Jeff Sessions, I'm not sure if he has been confirmed yet, but Jeff Sessions and or President Trump could have her removed and actually disbarred and pulled off the bench.
That's what we understand also. We've asked for her oath of office. We've tried to find mm-hmm. it. Some people say, well, these don't matter.
It matters.
I think
yes,
it's
it
a
matters.
Big deal. I think it's a yes. big deal, and it really matters. It's getting really scary in this country when we see these court systems do things like this. It's happening when they mm-hmm. are making these rulings that are unconstitutional and have mm-hmm. no conscience at all for the
right.
people. There's not even a remedy, and that's... To me, that's become a big word by listening here. There's always a remedy. At least in the law, you look at it, there's a remedy to anything that ends up happening. We don't have those choices anymore. They're very biased. It's scary. It does not seem like an America or American courts when I'm in there. It's really scary.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I noticed the symbolism that was on the door of that courthouse when the video was going on, and it was what they used to call the New World Order, but I call it the Old World Order because it's falling. We're doing a very good job, you know, people who fight in the, whether it be the alternative media or if we're what the real media is, because we're going to report the truth. We're not going to sugarcoat it. And, you know, we dispel the fake news, CNN and MSNBC and stuff like that. And then, you know, we have a lot of boots on the ground, like individuals like you who go into the courthouses, you go visit the prisoners and the different things. And with the people across our union that are working together to do this, you know, it's really, and especially since the election of President Trump, you know, he's reversing a lot of things that was very hardcore UN Agenda 21. And a lot of this stuff actually falls back to the blueprint of UN Agenda 21, on which the Nevada lands are fought over, and the Utah lands, and Oregon, and all this other stuff. And even though we know it leads back with Harry Reid and Hillary Clinton and all of this good little stuff, we also realize this is part of the Agenda 21 agenda, you know. And but I wanted to read you something. I didn't know if you knew this, but if she were to use, I know you know the federal one, but in the Oregon Constitution, this is what it says. Article 1, Section 11. Rights of the accused in criminal prosecution. Now, it doesn't say in felony. It says in criminal prosecution. So if it's a misdemeanor, it's still a criminal prosecution. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall have the right to a public trial by an impartial jury in the county in which the offense shall have been committed, to be heard by himself and counsel, to demand the nature and cause of the accusation against him, and to have a copy thereof, to meet the witnesses face to face, and to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, provided, however, that any accused person, in other than capital cases, in other words, if it's not murder, if the accused person does this, and with the consent of the trial judge, in other words, if the accused person, which would be the defendant, anything other than a murder case, with the consent of the trial judge, can elect to waive a trial by jury and consent to be tried by the judge of the court alone. So right there,
so plain.
It states,
so plain.
In other words, right, that's pretty plain. The accused person has to consent and request the waiver in writing, and then the trial judge, which would be Anna Brown, would have to give her consent to that waiver after it had been requested by the accused. So this misnomer that she has a right to pick and choose what she wants to do, that's in violation of Article 6, Section 2, because they are bound to the Constitution of the United States. And like I said, I don't know if she's going on Oregon or federal, because she's supposed to be a federal judge. And on that note, if you will, just hang on there, John. We'll be right back after a couple of words from our network sponsors.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritional meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and I am joined with John Lamb, and he is giving us updates on the patriots that are being held as political prisoners in Oregon, as well as we're going to have updates of the individuals in Nevada. And I believe that, John, you spoke to Tom as well, did you not?
I did what again?
Speak to Tom.
Oh, I did. Mm-hmm. I definitely spoke to Tom, yes. I've been speaking to him multiple times here in the last couple of weeks. He got a hold of my number. And we've been just trying to give him some moral support at this time. He did put me on his visiting list, so once I get back to Oregon, I'm going to go over and actually visit him. Right now,
Still
in Nevada, so he seems to be in good spirits. He's a strong individual. I'm honored to get to even talk to him. It's been a blessing.
We thank you very much for that, each and every one of us. We try to keep updated on Tom, and we know that all these individuals are political prisoners. And before you update, I wanted to bring up two more amendments, and the reason being is because I want people to understand, unless you're being held for a capital crime, even most people who are being charged with murder get bond, okay? So what you need to understand is that's usually the only case in which they're not allowed to not give you bond. And people keep asking, well, why aren't they? Because what is happening is that cute little NDAA that they passed, when they're trying to flag them as quote-unquote terrorists, They do that, and then they're allowed to indefinitely detain American citizens without charge or trial. And this is how they're getting by with most of the things about holding people without bond. The 14th Amendment, and we all know about the illegalities of the 14th Amendment, but we're going to do the 14th Amendment Section 1. And it says, all poor persons that are born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state in wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now, why do I point that out? For several reasons. Their liberties on each one, whether it be the ones that are in Oregon, Tom and the other individuals that are getting ready to face trial in February, whether it be the ones that are in Nevada, their liberty has been taken from them. It has been they have been deprived of their liberty, and due process of law has not happened yet. They have not been found guilty of anything. As a matter of fact, once they were found innocent by a jury of their peers, and they should have, they were still deprived of their liberty on simply U.S. Marshals say so without any paperwork proving that they had any kind of hold on them. So on the Eighth Amendment, it says, quote, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Excessive bail, they're not even allowing them bail. That falls as cruel and unusual punishment. You cannot tell me that it is not an equal protection of laws, because there are individuals who've been charged with murder, which none of these have. None of them have any kind of anything like that on them, and they are allowed out on bond. So you need to understand this is simply a political prisoner situation, whether it be Tom Lacovara, Stewart, whether it be the individuals in Oregon, and maybe John, and in a minute, maybe you can name some names for me, because I may not realize all of them that are over there. The ones that are in Nevada, this is strictly a, as straight as you can get, clean-cut violation of their constitutional rights. And that is also a violation of 18 U.S. Code 241. And I really hope that the administration is listening to the show. They look up 18 U.S. Code 241. They look up 18 U.S. Code 242. And there needs to be some heads starting to roll for their unlawful activities that are going on. We want to drain the swamp, but we want the whole swamp drained, not just a couple of them. We have got to get these out-of-control judges who are not following Article 6, Section 2 of their oath, and that includes not just in the District of Columbia, but it includes in the territories, it includes in the states, in the cities, in the counties. These are administrative judges. They're not following their oath, and thus they must be removed, especially if they are appointed. If they are not appointed and they are voted in and they have violated that, then the people need to start recalling these judges. That is the only way we're going to take our union back. We need to understand it's not going to be just top down, it's bottom up. We the people in every city, county, town, and place, we have to stand up for each other. Would you agree with that, John?
I definitely would. And I just, so when we're in court on these court things, we're seeing other court cases that are happening in the same building. We are seeing people that have been charged with murder, rape, just horrible crimes, that they're getting out on bond. But for some reason, they're not letting people out like Thomas, like Michael Emery, and all these other guys. And there's 19 guys here in Nevada alone sitting in jail. Not one single one of them have been able to get released from Nevada at all. 19 of them.
Right.
This is, it's just horrible how they're holding these guys. Most of them have been in jail for over a year now. Today makes the majority of these guys, they've been in jail for 374 days today. That's a lot of days without due process, without speedy trial, without bond. You know, this is an injustice in our country. These men are detainees and are being held without due process.
Right.
And it's sad.
Well, it's sad and it's sickening. And, you know, when you dig into the federal constitution, because, you know, what the federal end or the central government, whatever you want to call it, the corporation, if you look up 28 U.S. Code 3002, Section 15, A, B, and C, you will see it is a corporation. But what their limits are very clear in Article 1, Section 8. Can you tell me anywhere where they were permitted in Article 1, Section 8 to even come up with any kind of laws that were over the people in the first place? There wasn't. It was an agreement between the states and the central government in order to hold the states accountable and to hold the federal accountable. That was an agreement between the states and the central government. There was never anything for them to touch the people themselves.
Exactly.
So
we've got six guys coming up here just this coming Monday, the space and trial here in Nevada. And these six guys have had almost no judge hearings. They've every motion they've had has been denied. The only miracle we've got in this whole case so far was yesterday. The judge finally, she dropped count three, which was a weapons charge. It was 25 years in prison if they were convicted. She did drop that charge yesterday. And we were all in shock because we didn't expect it. So all 19 guys, that count three got dismissed on those.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the kicker, okay, because I researched, because I was covering the Brundy Ranch issue as well when it was live, and you know, I was covering all that as well. And I don't see how in the world they're going to try to do weapons charges on individuals on public land. There is no justification in the federal constitution for any, quote-unquote, gun laws. All the gun laws are unlawful. I mean, they're a nullity. They cannot touch them in the first place on the federal end of things. And most states in their constitutions cover that as well. But they don't dig enough because, you know, I just want to fit in with the crowd. But, you know, even when you're talking about those, the UNODA, when you're talking about the disarmament affairs for the UN, I mean, in Article 1, Section 10 of the federal constitution, it says no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver, coin a tender in payment of debt, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contract, or grant any title of nobility. Then, you know, it keeps going on. But they're not allowed to enter into anything that is not compliant with our Constitution. So these, even these treaties that they were trying to push forth on the weapons stuff through the UNODA and the UN, they were unlawful in the first place because, according to our Constitution, shall not make, you know, shall not infringe is shall not infringe. People need to look up what these definitions of these small words mean. It's pretty strong when you know the definitions of that. So on the Oregon end, do you know the names of the individuals that are going to be going to court in February?
In Oregon, I do. That would be Jason Patrick. He's defending himself as his own lawyer there. Then we have Jake Ryan from Montana. We have Dwayne Emmer. He's right there from Oregon. We have Dylan Anderson from Utah. And we also have Sean and Sandy Anderson from Idaho and Daryl Thorne from Washington. Those are the groups that are that are supposed to be going to trial on February 14th. The prosecution did, and this is brand new, the prosecution just announced that they are working out a deal with at least three of these defendants. Okay. And we will have confirmation on Monday for sure, but three of these defendants are taking a plea deal before the trial, and that all the charges are being dropped except for trespassing only. If they'll plead guilty to trespassing, Sean and Sandy Anderson and Daryl Thorne will not have to go to trial. So that's what the process did. So Monday at noon, there's supposed to be a press release released to this in effect. And this is, I've seen the paperwork, so I know it's true. But this is what the government's offered at least these three people.
Well, you know, I've got a curiosity for those that are in the federal government that are listening. You know, can you show me how you can trespass on public land and how you can trespass on land that my taxes pay for? Because if it's federal...
We definitely can't.
When it's federal, then every person who pays taxes within the union has paid for that building, has paid for that electricity, has paid for, you know, whatever the case may be. And I can tell you, I don't give consent, my personal consent, of my portion of that to go against charging anybody for trespassing. Because it is public land. Public is public.
Sean and Sandy Anderson, they didn't even go in the building. Even after they murdered Lavoie, Sean and Sandy Anderson were camping out in a field near the building. Uh-huh. They didn't even go in there. They didn't even stay inside. They didn't sleep inside where it was warmer. They slept in their tents for over 2 weeks while the federal government had them surrounded out there threatening to kill them after they had done murder Lavoie.
Well, this is what I don't understand. Number one, how can you get them for trespassing when you can't even provide a title to the land?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, produce that title. I want to see it. Because I know it doesn't exist. I've done my research,
too. It doesn't exist. It's not there. That land belongs to the state of Oregon.
Yes,
and the federal government won't even produce it for the court. They won't produce it for the jury trial. We tried back in September and October for the first trial. And that was presented to the jurors. And the jurors, they've seen this, and that's why they acquitted these men.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, they won't produce it because they don't have it.
They don't have it. They don't have it.
They don't have it. They know they don't have it.
It's not even recorded at the courthouse. I can go down to the courthouse and find my property on there, or yours, or anyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have this title. It does not exist. It belongs to the state of Oregon.
Absolutely. You know, and the federal government is limited to 10 miles square, according to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Not only that, the code that backs that up, any entity that is attached to the seat of government is 4 U.S. Code 72 to anybody who would like to look it up. They have to stay within that District of Columbia. So, you know, that's one of the things we really need to, as a whole, and I tell our people this all the time, we really need to, as a whole, start educating people within our communities, make an excuse to start that conversation, you know. Do it in a kind way. Don't do it in an arrogant way, you know. But we have to educate the people around us because we cannot assume they are going to know, especially these days. So many people just believe the false narrative of the fake news, and it's insane. You know, just like that Muslim ban thing. I reported on that the other day. That was hilarious. I mean, the ban, a real ban from those same countries that President Trump had done the executive order. All he was doing was enforcing already what Congress had passed and became implemented March the 1st of 2011, and President Obama enforced. And that was in 2011. Nobody said anything about that. And the only ones that were excused from that were diplomats or people within the military. Well, that's not even what Trump did. Trump actually did a little bit less strong than that order on that end of it, because he's only putting a pause on it to see if there's a way to get some vetting going on to do better in that manner. So, I mean, they're just rampant in the lies. They don't want to speak the truth. They always want to portray real patriots, real people who love our union, people who really, truly would never harm a living soul but fight for everybody's individual rights. They want to portray them as the bad guys while they want to pretend like rioters that burn down buildings and burn down businesses and blow up limos and things like that and the such are just protesters, which is absolutely insane, you know. But maybe that stuff will turn around. That's what I'm in the hope for. So we'll definitely keep the ones in Oregon in our prayers as well as the ones in Nevada. Now, I heard you visited a lot of the prisoners in Nevada yesterday. Do you want to share with our listeners, you know, anything that came out of that? How are they
yesterday,
doing?
Yeah, we had an awesome day. We were surprised. Everybody was really in good spirits out there. They had also heard that this count three charge was dropped. Mm-hmm. So I got to visit 10 of the guys out there. It's awesome. It's more guys than I've ever got to visit at one time. Usually it's one or two in a visit. And mm-hmm. it takes quite a while to get to visit these guys, so it's a big procedure. So to get to visit mm-hmm. 10 of them, it was awesome. And we visited all five of the Bundys. It just happened that they were able to come and see us. Normally I don't get to see all of them. Mm-hmm. We got to visit Ryan Payne. We got to visit Jerry DeLumas, Micah McGuire, and Joe O'Shaughnessy. So it was an awesome visit. All of them were smiles yesterday. They were excited to see us, and so it was a great thing. Well, one thing that amazed me is a couple of the guys. We pray for you guys. We think about you all the time, and they told us the same thing, though, even almost before we had a chance. They said, we pray for you guys out there, and we're always worried for your guys' safety, and we think about you guys all the time, and we appreciate your support, but we pray for you guys daily, is what they told me. So that was kind of awesome. I mean, we think about them all the time, but we don't realize that they're doing the same thing sitting in this jail. They're praying for us, and they have us on their minds, so it's pretty awesome.
That really is great, and the next time you visit them, please send them my love and let them know that we are still keeping it in the news. We are still on their side very strongly and doing what we can do on our end of things with that as well, because, you know, we really do appreciate their stand, you know. And
yes.
It is, even though Obama is no longer in office, you know, the Obama administration really has gone after people who report the real deal, you know. And whether it be Pete Santilli or whether it be Tom or whether it be the many others, some of them I can't name, Michael Emery, one of them, you know. Michael Emery didn't do anything wrong. They're going after the ones who will report the truth. And ironically, right before Tom got picked up, it was a couple of days to a week before he'd announced that he was going to be going to Nevada to cover the Bundy trials. And then all of a sudden, bang, all of a sudden, surprise, he gets picked up by the marshals on this charge. So, you know, 2 + 2 in Common Core equals 5, but we know that 2 + 2 actually equals 4.
So, how was this case alone? That's what's so scary, and people really should pay attention to this. Thomas's case alone should scare people to know that we are losing our rights so fast if they don't stand up. He's never harmed anybody. I've mm-hmm. talked to him. I've checked out his past and stuff.
Yep.
Here he's a free man one day, and this is way after the refuge deal and all the other stuff, and all he's trying to do is spread the truth and report on it. They find something small, and off of a false report, they lock up an mm-hmm. innocent man without bond. Thomas mm-hmm. shouldn't be sitting over there in jail. He shouldn't even have the charge. That's how bogus this stuff is. Someone can lie on you, and you can be in jail tomorrow on just the smallest little thing, and they'll transport you all the way across the country and lock you up without bond. This is wrong, folks. It really is.
Yeah, it really is, and it's insanity. It really is insanity. And the sad thing is, and I mean, I think now more than ever, people are starting to really, really wake up. And I mean, because I report about this all the time, globally, you know, we literally are the globe's last stand when it comes to a lot of issues. And so you're seeing a ripple effect globally, standing against these quote-unquote new international order, new world order, liberal world order. They have so many names for it. We call it the old world order because they're old, they're decrepit, and they're going away of the dodo because of us individuals, one by one, standing up together, taking a stand, nonviolently, but we are saying no more. It's not going to happen anymore. And I think that's one of the reasons that whether it be the rhinos in the Republican Party, the neocons, whether it be in the Democratic Party, whether it be, you know, the Soros-funded MoveOn.orgs and the different things that like to create these fake protests so that they can riot and destroy stuff, all of this is crumbling massively. And this is why they attack Trump so bad. And this is what I said. This is my personal opinion. This is not something I can prove. It's just my personal opinion. I think originally they let him run as a Republican because they didn't want to appear as if they had only a select few that you can choose from, because everybody had been saying that for years. And they had it in their minds that there was no way he could win, you know. And yes. So what happened was they were like, well, we're going to let him run, and that way the people see us as we're a fair party. Anybody can run for president. Keep that illusion going. And it took them by storm because the people realized he's not an insider. He ran on the Republican ticket, yes, but he's not an insider. He's an independent businessman. He's a very successful independent businessman, but he's not an insider. So he's a threat to the, right, he's a threat to the neocons. He's a threat to the rhinos. He's a threat to those who have the R behind their name but support Syrian, the quote-unquote Syrian rebels, or if you will, the terrorists over in the Middle East that have been all in purpose to try to overthrow Assad. All of this, he is a threat to them. And he's a threat to them because their establishment that they worked almost 200 years to get is now crumbling down. So that's why they were in such shock. Why couldn't we beat this man? So then he beat. They were shocked because they knew they had votes rigged. That was proven. They knew that they had all this other stuff going on, mainstream media on their side. And we'll finish that topic after a couple of words from our network sponsors, and then we'll get to taking some calls.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.